Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. Today we're going to hear from Pat Duggan with the Fort McMurray Legion as he chats with our news director here at Mix 103.7, Jaron Vecchio, about the new museum coming to the Legion.
Pat, first off, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and we've had you on the show a couple times since last year's flood, and you've mentioned that there have been some renovations that have been ongoing at the Legion, and we now know that these renovations are complete, and there's a lot of cool, new, exciting things at the Legion, including now the fact that the building is now being registered as museum, which kind of caught me off guard because you never shared any information about that, so you're really good at keeping a secret. So maybe just share a little bit more information about why the Legion was trying to get, I guess, this title.
No, we've joined the Remembering Good Standing now with the Organization of Military Museums of Canada. Why we wanted to do this is we did happen to have a large amount of artifacts and such available to us, and it just seemed to make sense, and we're trying to support Valor Canada, trying to help support education of children and high schools and such. So part of what we're doing is, with our curator Dale Benfeld, we've really modified and developed our front area into a proper, actual proper museum piece, but also making sure the artifacts are properly logged and cataloged and available to the public as well for educational purposes. There's a lot of people don't understand there's a lot of rich military history around Fort McMurray, actually, especially back in the Canadian Signal Corps back in the 1920s, actually started working up here as part of a radio broadcasting system for the military. And that progressed on through with Canadian U.S., what's called the Canal Project in World War II. The airport was actually built by the U.S. Army Air Corps, so where the actual airstrip is, that was actually initially built by the American military and fleshed out properly from a bushfire landing area. And also, the Royal Canadian Air Force, the Stony Mountain radar station and radio stations are up there. There's a tremendous amount of history as well, the Anzacs and such too. So it just seemed only right. The Legion, we're trying to help promote remembrance from the sacrifices of Canadians, but also what Canada itself's done and what this region itself has done in furtherance of Canada's safety and sovereignty. So it seemed to make total sense that we take this natural step.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of answered my next question, and I was going to ask about local history, if this museum was just going to focus, just on Canada as a whole, but you kind of mentioned a few examples there, but it does sound like we do have, a lot of really interesting and important history that, like you mentioned, hopefully we can get more kids in the region, and I'm not even a kid, I didn't even know about these things, so just more people in general, a little bit more knowledge about it.
Absolutely, and we were really fortunate to have Dale part of our team and on the board as well. He's our curator. He's done some fantastic research on the area himself, so it's something that we're really looking to be able to help push forward to the rest of the community, especially the kids.
Now, I gotta ask, and I'm assuming there will probably be a few people out there being like, this is a boring question, but I'm quite curious about this, but what is the process like to even be registered as a museum? When we got the information about that, I'm like, what kind of process did they have to go through to do this?
It wasn't that bad for this particular organization, so it was like the application process and some little bit of vetting that had to go on, but other than that, it wasn't too bad. But they're quite happy to have us. We're the only museum part of their group in Northern Alberta, period, which actually kind of surprised me, so I thought there would have been a bit more, but they're really happy to have us as part of their group. The other thing that we're going to be looking at is we're still waiting for the province and the municipality to hopefully finish off the negotiations very soon in regards to the properties that might be available for the Legion to be able to move to.
Yeah.
And with that, would allow us to bring in some vehicles and such at the new location that we're considering at this point in time. So it'd be really able to expand it so more of a visitor's experience as well, and showing the breadth of the Canadian military history. And not just me as an Army guy, not just for the Army, but for the Air Force and the Navy as well.
Okay, that'd be fantastic. Just to be an expansion of this already brand new museum. So that would definitely be really cool when we can see that happen. I know that unfortunately we can't have people check out the museum right now because of COVID-19. Maybe just talk a little bit about, some of the restrictions when we can have a few people in. What are some of the protocols that you guys are going to be following to make sure when we can eventually have people in that they can, do so safely?
Well, everything we've got, like I said, we're going through a cataloging process. We've a great many artifacts that are just being vetted and cleaned up. But we have a tremendous amount on display, and we plan on changing the display approximately every month or so, as rotation of different uniforms and things like that. It'll be very easy because it's our front entrance area. People simply walk in, and we'll also have items on display throughout the actual clubhouse restaurant itself.
Okay.
So it'll be quite exciting as well. And it's free. We don't do any charging for everybody to come through to see the museum pieces or anything else like that. So there's no sense in hiding Canadian history on people, so we're very much like to get out in the public as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pause there for a moment and take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll hear more from Pat Duggan with the Legion, chatting with Jaron Vecchio about the new museum coming to Fort McMurray.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, we have Pat Duggan chatting with Jaron Vecchio, our news director here at Mix 103.7, about the new museum coming to the Fort McMurray Legion.
You also mentioned an interesting point that this is unique to Northern Alberta. There isn't another museum like this. Do we know where the closest one is? Is it Edmonton?
I do believe, the other ones that are registered, if I'm remembering correctly, it's in Edmonton. It should be in the Loyal Edmonton Regiment Society runs it in the old armories just south of Royal Alec Hospital.
Okay, and we...
I believe they're part of the same group.
Okay, yeah. So we do know that there are a few people that live in Northern Alberta, so the fact that we're able to get a museum like this up here to get more people educated, that just seems like was this an easy decision to make?
Oh, absolutely. No, the whole group was on board. As we were able to expand and we had more opportunities to get more artifacts up here, especially when we were looking at the vehicles and such, and then we were looking at, okay, whether for future. Because we can't stay, unfortunately, can't stay down in waterways where we are because the whole insurance issue of us not being insured any longer when it comes to overland flooding. So that just leaves us, and obviously the artifacts in the building at a tremendous disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So again, the city's been fantastic and being able to give us some options and looking at different things. But the big one that we're really looking at is a possible lot in Parsons Creek. So as soon as the province is able to finish negotiating again with the city and that becomes municipal property, then the municipality has sat down with us and we've looked at plans and they're very, very willing to support us.
Every time I ask this question to the municipality or to the province, I always get the same answer and just that we don't have a timeline yet. But have you been given any indication on when, when this could happen? Is this something that you think is possible to get finalized this year, or is this maybe a next year thing? Have you gotten any indication whatsoever from either the municipality or the province?
No, the province is obviously very close-lipped about it. Municipality, we have a closer dialogue with. They give us indications that things are progressing, they don't feel like they're being stymied in any particular way. It's a bit of a process, obviously, but they feel they're going through the hoops correctly. We're hoping to hear some more before the summertime, but again, they can't be overly specific when, you know, the province is being overly specific with them either. So I try to understand that. It'd be fantastic if it was this year, but we'll see and keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. And just to clarify, just because I'm assuming a few people will probably have this question, when, if and when this gets approved and you can move to, say, Parsons Creek, where is the funding coming to, you know, to build the Legion and the museum?
Well, for that, we're actually going to be starting a fundraising campaign starting just this summer. We've also been reaching out to possible different corporate sponsors as well. So our idea for the building, if these things go through, would be that it would be a combined use building. So it wouldn't just be the ballroom that would be available for, obviously, community gatherings and community use, and the clubhouse and the museum part, but also potentially office space as well. So we're just looking at possible different partnerships. We're just exploring those gently right now, but there's all possibilities. We've actually even had some corporations reach out to us, not being able to specifically say who and what they're providing, but it's definitely much more support than we've had previously. So we're very, very excited and trying not to, you know, tip our hand too much, but it's looking promising that if things can go well in regards to the province and the city getting some of that deal negotiated, we would be able to go forward with concrete plans and support from the community and hopefully get this done sooner than later, is all I can say.
For sure. And just talking about the support you're seeing, I think there's not one person in town that would say, we don't need the Legion. We understand how important the Legion is. So that doesn't surprise me that you guys have already getting a lot of calls to get some help. So, Pat, is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
Nope. Other than the fact that we're obviously going to be very anxiously waiting the COVID numbers to start dropping here, not just for the safety of everybody else, but also so everybody can get out and be a bit more of a community again. Mm-hmm. And we'll certainly be there for the rest of the city.
Once again, that was Pat Duggan with the Fort McMurray Legion chatting with Jaron Vecchio, our news director here at Mix 103.7. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll be hearing from Helen Meyer with Communities in Bloom.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have Helen Meyer, the chair of the committee for Wood Buffalo Communities in Bloom. Hi, Helen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm really excited. This is one of my favorite times of year when you can kind of walk through a garden center and check out what they've brought in for us this year. And that's kind of a big part of what Communities in Bloom is about, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's what I wanted to come and share with the community, some tips about gardening, who we are, and to let people know that there are a lot of opportunities to get out there this summer and enjoy your backyards and have beautiful gardens. You bet.
I love it. All right, tell me about Communities in Bloom. Who are you?
Yeah, well, Communities in Bloom is a national nonprofit organization. We are committed to fostering civic pride, environmental responsibility, and creating beautiful green spaces in the community. The RMWB joined the organization in the year 2000, and we've actively participated since that time. And our mission really is to maintain a connection with the National Communities in Bloom program, which includes, in a normal year, our program would include having judges coming to evaluate our community on various beautification and environmental efforts. But as we know, programming has changed in the last year. So we've just switched things up a bit and are working on revising our program.
Okay. So what do the revisions look like?
Yes. So we have noticed with our initiatives for this year include to be able to provide and host COVID-friendly programming. And we're fortunate that we're able to include some of our programs that we normally host, which is Nominate Your Neighbor and Flower of the Year, as well as the National CIB's Hope is Growing program. It's some of the live events that we were able to promote and recognize our volunteer appreciation that we're not able to host this year, but we can still go forward with those, and we're pretty excited about that. Something else we're doing this year is we're introducing a new branding. So this includes a new logo that incorporates the favorable raven with a floral wingspan and a modern acronym of CIB. So the, again, like I said, that the organization has been in the community for a long time and people recognize it for the cute raven photo and logo. So you can see our new logo throughout town with our new programming with Nominate Your Neighbor. And also on Facebook, our social media platforms will also be advertising it there. Another one of our initiatives is to provide an enhanced social media experience through virtual promotion and engagement. So, as I mentioned, our new logo will be flashing that all over the place. And an example of our virtual engagement, earlier this year, we offered an online poll to vote for the 2021 Flower of the Year. And over 3,000 community members voted, choosing one of four flower choices. And the nasturtium won with 51% with 1,679 votes. So we were pretty excited that people, it showed that people were engaged and interested in participating, and it was something new for us. So we were pretty excited about that.
And what does a nasturtium look like?
A nasturtium is, they're cute little flowers. They actually are really easy to grow in our region. And so they have yellow, orange, and red flowers. And they grow in sun or shade. They're considered an annual in this part of the country, or probably in Canada, all over the place. But they grow really easily. They can kind of vine along plants. You can put them in border gardens or plant gardens or planter boxes. They're just quite simple to grow. And they actually have some neat characteristics, too, that they're an edible flower. And there's a lot of health benefits. So they have a lot of vitamin C, which helps with our immune system. But leaves are really where the health power punch is. And it's interesting that they help the body to detoxify, improve memory, and fight depression. They're also used in remote parts of the world to fight colds, respiratory problems, and to make oils and creams for skin infections. Like all of these things we didn't know. We usually grow flowers just for the beauty of them. But they're really amazing plants. And really, they're best known, at least I know them best, for their peppery flavor, and they're great treats on salads.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Now, if somebody was looking to get some, do they just go to the store and buy some, or?
Well, that's part of our program, which is Flower of the Year. So normally we hand these out at trade shows, at public events. But with COVID, we're not able to offer them the same way. But our seed distribution, we're partnering with different businesses in town. We'll have them available at community cleanup, which is taking place through RMWB between May and August, I believe, or at least to the fall. So when you pick up a package there, you'll also receive some seeds, and different businesses throughout town will have them on their counters. You'll see a little package. You'll see the, they'll be in a basket, and you'll see a little sign saying Flower of the Year, Communities in Bloom. So yeah, there's lots of opportunities to pick them up throughout town, and you can go to our website at rmwb/CIB to find out more locations and information there.
Great. And then tell me about Nominate Your Neighbor.
Yeah, so Nominate Your Neighbor is it's a great program to recognize gardeners for their home gardens and businesses for maintaining their storefronts. It's an inclusive program that encourages all gardeners of all types. So that would be, your beautiful front yard, or if you've got a patio garden or baskets, everything. We encourage all gardeners to participate. And also the whole region is included. So anyone within the region and communities are able to participate in the program. So you can go on to, again, to our website, and beginning in June, you are able to nominate your neighbors. So you would fill out an application form, submit it online. It's very easy to apply. And then the committee members, which would be myself, and we have some other members and volunteers, we deliver the little package to that address. And they can put there's a little sign that kind of shows that they've been, it's a little recognition sign, and some seeds and other little prizes like that. We'll also be offering for participants each week or every week or so throughout the summer, we'll also be drawing for different prize baskets. So so that people that are participating, there's opportunities there to receive little gifts since we're not able to host our appreciation event, which would normally be Party in the Park.
Awesome. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think that's about all the questions I have. Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, the committee is also promoting the Communities in Bloom Canada's virtual program, which is called Hope is Growing. And anyone can participate by planting a hope garden, which is a garden including an abundance of yellow, the color of hope. Anyone can register at hopeisgrowing.ca and share photos on social media with the hashtag hopeisgrowing, and they're all eligible for national and global recognition. So this is kind of a new program for Communities in Bloom also with the pandemic and virtual programming. It's kind of neat. I registered myself. When you go on and register onto that Hope is Growing website, they actually have a map, and once you put in your address and your name, it shows a little flower in your area. So it's kind of interesting to see who's all participating. So there's something there for everyone. Again, just another opportunity to enjoy gardening and get involved and feel included. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I love that. I love the way that we can really get connected just through hashtags, you know?
Perfect, yeah. I also wanted to let everyone know that this year the Communities in Bloom Committee is excited to have a community flower garden return this year. And unfortunately, due to the flooding last year, the garden plot at Snai Park was damaged, but we are happy to plant a flower garden at Borealis Park in June.
Oh, great. That'll be wonderful to take a walk by. Will you be planting a lot of yellow in it?
Yes, we will be planting some yellow, and as well as the nasturtium flower of the year, there are some yellow components, and there's always, and for members or the community to participate, you know, there's so many easy flowers like marigolds and sunflowers that you can just throw seeds in and they will pop up. So it's a really nice way to contribute to the program, you bet.
That is awesome. And where can we find you again?
You can find us on rmwb.ca/CIB. I'd also like to thank the many individual and community gardeners out there. Community gardening organically connects community to nature while creating a sense of belonging and inclusion. Thank you to all your efforts in creating beautiful spaces and enhancing community connections.
Love it. That is a great note to end on. My guest this morning is Helen Meyer, the chair of the Committee of Wood Buffalo Communities in Bloom. You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. But if you missed it or you want to hear more, you can always head to our website and check out our podcast at mix1037fm.com. Fort McMurray Matters airs every weekday at noon. Chat with you tomorrow.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.